if you look at the bottom of the handout that you have, I just wanted to run through where we're at, because we're basically at the halfway point. So far, what we've done is we've talked about the command to make disciples. We've talked about looking at assessing ourselves as disciplers. We've looked at the goal of discipling. We've looked at being others-oriented. We've looked at influence and initiating ourselves, that is. And then last week, we looked at objections to discipling, believe it or not. Those weeks were all pretty much focused on our hearts and our intentions when it comes to discipling. Because, like I've been saying all along, if we don't have a proper understanding and conviction and heart to disciple people, teachers can talk all day long on how and where and all this stuff, and it really doesn't matter, because if we're not on board, we're not on board. So far, that's sort of the theme that we've been dealing with. Today, we're going to start getting into the how and some of the specifics of actually discipling people. So today's lesson is a little bit more, I guess I would say, instructional or logistical. You'll see that as we get into this, but we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about choosing someone. And when we're talking about choosing someone in that way, what I'm talking about is how to choose someone. And you had a question last week, which we'll get to next week. I bounce things around a little bit on the form, the bottom of your handout, the weekly deliver here, moving around a little bit. But today is more on the how to actually choose someone who's willing to be discipled. Okay, so we'll talk about that. And then also we're going to talk about having clear aims. So what are we actually shooting for when we're doing discipling? These three verses, if I could get someone to volunteer to look these up, this is Proverbs 14:23, James 5:12, and then the same person, do these two, please, and read them at the same time. It's Proverbs 16:18, and then Proverbs 22:4. So if you guys could get those ready, that would be good. So for starters, if we talk about choosing someone, the one thing I wanted to mention right out of the gates here is, and this is on your handout, by the way, discipling is not a project/activity. Okay, discipling is a lifestyle. And what I mean by that is that if we look at Matthew 28 and some of the other scriptures we've been looking at through this whole series, this isn't like something that we sort of say, hey, am I comfortable doing this? Like, I do some stuff in a church and I don't know if I'm going to do this or not. Or if I do it, maybe it's like this little like project thing I do once, or give it a shot and see what happens. That kind of thing. Discipling is actually a lifestyle. It's something that we all do as believers ever since we got saved, really. We become hopefully quickly equipped to disciple people, and that's what we do for the whole rest of our life. That's one of the components of our Christian lives, is to disciple people. It's a lifestyle. Some of the scriptures, by the way, that we've talked about is Titus 2 and then also Colossians 1:28 and 29. We've read these a number of times in the class already, so I won't repeat them, but if you look at Titus 2 and Colossians 1:28 and 29, you'll see that this is a continual effort on the part of a believer to disciple another believer. Okay? And the other thing I want to mention too, this is on your handout, people are not projects. Okay? We don't go trying to disciple people like they're a project, and this is a project. People are people. They're relationships. And so what we're doing is we're actually helping them, basically with a relational attempt to help them to follow Christ. And when you stop and think about it, we're not trying to get people to follow a moral code or some religious code, okay? What we're trying to do, back to the point of people aren't projects, they're relationships, is we're trying to help them in a relationship. Okay, the whole point of discipling is to help them in their one-on-one relationship with Christ. That's really the whole goal. And you'll hear that a little bit today, the theme of Christ through today, but just bake that in your head, that really what we're doing is we're trying to take people to Jesus and have them follow him, okay, 100%. John 14:15 says, if you love me,
keep my commandments.
You will keep my commandments. So these are like proofs of our love. And I can't say this enough, but the whole ball of wax boils down to us and the people we're discipling loving Jesus. That's the whole goal. And through loving Jesus, there's fruit of obedience and wanting to help other people be discipled and so forth and so on. Okay, so that's 1 John 14:15. A good benchmark on how we choose someone. I've mentioned this book before by Eric Russ. Eric Russ is a pastor in Detroit. He wrote this book called Discipleship Defined. It's a really, really good book. If you look on your handout, I put a little corny little picture there of a Boy Scout field book. Has anybody here been in the Boy Scouts? Yeah. Gary? Okay. So what do you do with the field book? What's that for? You read it, okay? So based on what Gary says, read this book. You're going to get one. So the field book, correct me if I'm wrong, I've never been a Boy Scout, but you know, it tells you the basics of what you're doing when you're in the field, okay? It tells you how to tie knots, tells you how to make a fire, you know, stuff like that. It's just basically the guidebook that you keep with you to say, it's my ABCs, you know, on being a Boy Scout, okay? Well, Russ's book is really not a book on, you know, the high-level philosophy of discipling or a theological treatise on discipling or anything like that. It's more of a field guide, okay? And again, you're all going to get one today. And for the four people who bought one, you're going to get reimbursed. I just decided this week, it's like, I want to give everybody a book. I want everybody to get this. And I hope you read it. I really hesitate handing stuff out for free to people who didn't ask for it. But I'm hoping it's sort of like the old thing where, you know, the family member put something on the nightstand and are hoping you read it. You know? I'm hoping you read it. Or the bathroom. Okay. Yeah, so...
The library.
Yeah, the throne of the library. You'd be surprised how much lesson preparation goes on in my bathroom, but that's another story. Again, looking at choosing someone, okay... To do that, a really good little acronym that Eric uses in his book, if you look at your handout there, it's the acronym called FAT, okay? Meaning that we want the people that we're going to disciple, and ourselves actually, to be fat, okay? And that's not a Baptist thing. That's Eric Russ's thing. And what the FAT, F-A-T, stands for, and you can jot this down. And by the way, who's got Proverbs 14:23? Go ahead and read that.
All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty.
Mere talk leads to poverty. Okay. So in FAT, the first word is faithful. And Eric has this in his book. You'll see it. The basic point there in being faithful is the person worthy, okay, of trust that they will do what you say they need to do. They need to be on board is the point. Are they faithful to the practice of discipling? So you're investing in them. Are they investing in it as well? And are they going to be faithful doing it? James 5:12, who's got that?
But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation.
Thank you. So let your yes be yes and your no be no, okay? What A stands for is available. You can jot that down, available, okay? What that means is that they must show consistency in attending your get-togethers, okay? There's times where, you know, you can be trying to disciple someone, and they go, yeah, sure, no problem, yeah, let's do it. And then you start doing it, and they're very inconsistent. You know, they don't value it. They're not showing up. Something came up, and, you know, blah, 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 and it's all trivial. And, you know, of course, in the real world, things are going to happen. Something's going to get bumped once in a while. But I'm talking about a consistent thing here. They need to be, okay, available to actually show up and make themselves available to do it. The T stands for teachable, and who's got Proverbs 16:18 and 22:4?
Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then 22:4 is reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life.
So they need to be humble, and they need to be teachable. Okay? If you're attempting to disciple someone who's got all the answers and they're full of pride and they don't want to listen to anything you're saying, or they want to question and push back on everything you're saying, it's probably not a good fit. Okay? But FAT stands for faithful, available, and teachable. Okay? And by the way, on that teachable thing, if I look at, you know, being humility and their actual true desire to learn, okay, and to change, to become a more obedient, loving disciple of Christ. I'm not trying to like hold her up too high here or anything like that, but Hannah has been meeting with me and of course with Tracy, because that's another thing that we'll talk about next week, is opposite sexes don't disciple each other. But she's a good example. I mean, she really truly has a heart to say, I want to learn. I want to find out, like, you know, how can I go make disciples? How can I, you know, get to know Christ more and be more obedient as a believer, you know, out of love, not out of, you know, moral code, but out of love. So she exemplifies that. But that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a person who's faithful and available and teachable. Okay. Something too that I just want to say, it's like a little disclaimer here. Remember that a lot of people that may not really understand what you're getting at with discipling, but they go, sure, let's do it. You know, let's meet next Monday. Let's go to this coffee shop, whatever. Just remember, there's a lot of people that will do that because they really are, they're just trying to find a friend, or they're trying to vent about some things, or they've got some relational problems and they're trying to get somebody to talk to about that. But to be honest, they really have no desire at all to be discipled, to follow Jesus Christ. That's not their goal. Now, everything I just said, wanting a friend, you know, having relationship problems, wanting to vent, that's all perfectly fine. That's great. Go meet with them and befriend them and help them. But that's not discipleship. That's the point. Jen.
I think something important too is because in my class I'm taking right now, we're talking about mentorship or discipleship. And sometimes, like, when especially a younger person asks an older person, if you ask them, you know, mentor or disciple me, mm-hmm. and you don't explain what that is, you get freaked out, like, I'm not qualified to do that, and or right. So what you just said about, like, the friendship part of it, like, just that is important to explain in that too, so people don't get intimidated.
Sure.
Even as an older person asking a younger person.
Yep.
Because they might be like, I don't know, I don't have time to take another class or
right. Right. Yeah. And that goes back to, you know, we're not trying to just do a class. We're trying to actually relationally help them in another relationship, which is their relationship with Christ. And based on what Jen just said, by the way, I'm going to show some things here at the end of the lesson on the overhead that will sort of touch on that as far as just some guidelines and some parameters kind of thing. Someone asked in the class before, how do you know when it's just time to move on if someone isn't responding or they're obstinate? How do you know when it's time to just move on?
Well, first of all, if you're a responsible discipler, you're going to call them out on their sin and let them know they need to repent for their obstinacy, their pride, their arrogance. And it's up to them, because we're wasting my time if you won't.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to repent, or are we going to call this off?
Mm-hmm.
Put the burden on them. It's mm-hmm. their sin.
Okay. Tony.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You just say, listen, this is not what this is about. And just try to talk to them, as David said, and if maybe they'll repent and they'll continue on. If they won't, then mm-hmm. sorry, I can't help you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Keith.
I found helpful to establish a time parameter before as we begin. Let's meet together for 6 weeks, or let's
right.
meet together for 10 weeks. And then when that 10 weeks is over, you can either renew or not renew.
Right.
Hopefully they are getting into some habits.
Right.
That you can leave them alone for 6 months or a year and then
right.
pick it up later and see how they're doing.
Yeah.
But if you set the time limit going into it, then there's no embarrassment. It's an agreed upon situation.
Yeah. Keith's point is actually a very good offset to the very good point that Dave and Tony just said, because here's the thing. If the situation, and again, you have to assess the person, okay? That's why this FAT acronym, I think, is so helpful, and getting with them and talking with them is so helpful. You have to assess the person, assess the situation, okay? If it's a situation where there's, like Dave's just calling it blatant sin, and he's saying they need to repent, that could be the situation. And if that's the situation, have the backbone spiritually and scripturally to do that. However, there could be situations like he's talking about where it's not really that they're in sin. It's not that they're pushing back on discipleship. Could be that they're not comfortable with you. Okay, or they're not comfortable with the fact, like Eric Hatfield mentioned, we're going to talk about that today. Eric Hatfield mentioned when I did some polling here on week one that expectations are a big deal. And if the person says, like, you know what, it's like, I know your heart's in it and all that, but heart's not everything, dude. It's like, if you're going to disciple me, we got to know what we're doing here. And if you have, like, no leadership ability and we're just sort of like going in circles, I'm not interested. You know, maybe I need to hook up with somebody else at the church for discipling. So weigh those things out. I don't want to get too judgmental and just jump to conclusions about everybody, and neither should you, okay? But in that question of what do we do if somebody's just, you know, obstinate or not responding, I would look at this FAT acronym and say, how are they doing with that? Okay, and maybe even ask them about that. The other thing I would ask you to do, too, and this is not a cliche, pray about it. Seriously, pray about it. Pray for you, pray for them, to see where the Lord leads in trying to figure this out. Another thing, too, and I'm not saying you can do this right on the spot when that happens, but I think something that goes along really well with this whole issue is the book of Proverbs. So if you read the book of Proverbs, and there's, you know, 31 Proverbs, you can read one a day, it takes 5 minutes. There's a lot of stuff in Proverbs that helps you see the heart and mind of a person. Okay, maybe even yourself. So look at the book of Proverbs. The only other thing I want to say on that, too, is to be careful. Because if we're going to be serious about this idea of, okay, you know, I'm convicted now, I think I need to make disciples the rest of my life, basically. It needs to be a regular part of my Christian existence. We in the church, sometimes we don't use good discernment. And we aren't real principled biblically. So we're jumping ahead with a good, healthy heart wanting to do it, but we're not using a lot of discernment. And here's the newsflash. There are people that will absolutely waste your time. And you touched on that, Dave. You're wasting your time. You're wasting their time. They're not on board. Okay? And that's why I think things like this assessment, you know, the faithful, available, teachable, it's really important to understand that and to think about that when you're embarking on discipling, okay, with someone. They will waste your time. And the problem, part of the problem, and I won't go off on this tangent, but part of the problem we have, I think, in a lot of areas in the Christian life, in the church, is we focus so much on just being loving and the heart and nice and blah, blah, blah. It's like we could never, ever, ever cut bait. Well, here's something to think about. If you're investing in what I call a dead sea person, which means it all stops with them, they have no intentions of actually learning to go out and actually disciple somebody else. It's just all about them. And maybe they're a bad person to be discipling because they don't really fit this criteria well of just being faithful and available and teachable and humble. Guess what? There's probably somebody else in the church that does fit all that criteria, and they're on a waiting list. And they got nobody to disciple them. Because we are spending our time with people who are basically wasting our time and wasting their time. Okay? It's tough stuff to say, but it's true. Right. And in Eric's book, you'll see this. He does not, he doesn't beat around the bush, which is why the book is like 99 pages. Eric.
I was just going to say, in the years that I've discipled, I've come to understand that even as Jesus drew people to himself as disciples, he didn't take everyone along. The rich young ruler,
right.
He said, oh, what do I have to do? And he told him what he had to do, and he wasn't willing to do it.
Great point.
And Jesus let him walk away.
Right.
And that's important to keep that focus. You know, we're not here to save people. We're here to disciple those who are saved.
Exactly.
God does the saving, we do the discipling.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. To put it another way, to paraphrase what Eric's saying, I would challenge anyone to show me in Scripture where people are coddled.
It ain't there.
It's not there.
Nope.
It's just not there. If you look at the character of God in the Old Testament, you look at the character of Jesus and God in the New Testament, he is to the point. Okay? I was talking with Tony this weekend about some things related to the gospel, and Jed as well. And, you know, for instance, we don't go around telling people, it's like, well, you know, if you love your kids more than Jesus, you can't be his disciple. If you love your wife or you love your husband more than Jesus, you can't be his disciple. I don't see that in church signs, you know. But it's true.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus said. He said, oh, if you want to follow me, cool. Pick up your cross, die. You know. Oh, you want to follow me, go sell everything and come back. He didn't say, sure, let's go to Tim Hortons. So anyway, the point is, take it in the balance that's there in Scripture is my point. Okay, don't take my word for it. Don't take your word for it. Take Scripture's word for it and act like and live like Scripture. Okay, so if we look at having clear aims, so the whole point is like, you know, what are we doing here? One thing I just wanted to say, and these are just some general observations to start with. What's really, really popular today is having an accountability partner. Having an accountability partner has a purpose, okay? But the thing that I would ask you to not do is to not think of the person you're discipling as just some project that you're just trying to keep from sinning. That's part of discipleship, but that's not the whole goal. The whole goal is that we might love Christ and keep his commandments because we love him, and it's positive, and we go out and we make disciples and we teach and so forth, one-on-one. You know, I sort of get this impression today. It's like, I'm a big fan of the scripture. I say this all the time. You know, walk, which is a positive action item, walk according to the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are so focused on not fulfilling the lust of the flesh that we just want to have like an accountability partner and just make sure we're going, hey, what are you doing today? Checking in with you. That's not discipleship. That's just dealing with one element of a Christian's life, which is helping them with the flesh. That's it. Okay? You know that verse, you walk according to the Spirit, you won't fill the lust of the flesh. It's almost like the way I think people read that is, don't walk according to the flesh, and you might not even fulfill it one day. Done. That's not the goal. That's just part of it, okay? If it doesn't go further, if discipleship doesn't go further than just helping somebody not fulfill sin, it's not going far enough. Because after all, it's not about you. It's about you serving the King.
There you go.
And just stopping your fleshly desires is just one element to that. What, Diane?
The accountability partners aren't great, but it's not as helpful as the truth that we share. So if you're meeting with somebody and you're not being honest and you're not being truthful, they can only help you to the extent that you share truthfully.
Right.
And that's the hardest thing, is to determine if somebody's being honest with you and you get to know that by the relational aspect of discipleship.
Right. Yeah. And you know, a corny little analogy just popped in my mind as the time I was saying it. It's like, if this is a tree situation, we're trying to make fruit, and all we're doing is down on the ground pulling weeds every day. It's like, we're not doing it. We're not watering. We're not growing. We're not pruning. We're not doing anything. We're just like pulling weeds. You know, that's not the whole story. Something else I wanted to say is, I think we should be careful about our terminology, okay? Even in Dever's book, Mark, I don't have it here today, but Mark Dever's book on discipling, which is an excellent book. I would recommend that you get it. There's some phrases in there. Like the subtitle of the title of the book is Helping Others to Follow Jesus. Okay? That's okay. That's fine, but we just need to be careful about our semantics and what we're thinking about here, and therefore what we're aiming at. I'm talking about aiming properly, okay? If it's just helping someone follow Jesus, so it's about them, You could have a person who interprets that and say, okay, great. I'm going to have, you know, Gary disciple me, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to learn how to follow Jesus, which basically means it all starts and stops with me, and it's all about my happy Christian life. Like, it's back to that, you know, me, myself, and I Christian life. And that might sound like I'm a little off base, but I'm just saying that there's like a ton of Christians that have that view
right.
of life. It's like all about me and how I'm walking today. It's not about Christ and me living for Him and walking for Him. It's just me. I got my accountability partner. Yeah, I'm not. I got my sin like a little bit under control, and I'm just sort of like clean, you know. And so we're good. So, Steve.
I know the class we did last week with the chain and how good that is, and we're moving along in links, and some we're further down the chain mm-hmm. than someone else, and we're bringing them in that direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
To love God more,
mm-hmm.
it's said in the thing. And you're talking about aim. If you've been living for the Lord for a long time, what is your... I know you're talking about having fear. What is your aim
mm-hmm.
to give to this next person? And how are you... I mean, I know we're talking about it, but how are you going to give that? How do you give that to the next person? And can it be done in a... can it be done in a list fashion? Okay, number one, ABC. Number two, ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way it is, or what are we doing? I mean, I'm trying to...
It's a perfect... it's a perfect segue.
You're telling me that.
No, it's a perfect segue. The thing that Tony's going to show in a couple minutes, what I actually have is a couple, like, templates or a couple outlines that are just sort of random that we're going to show. And the point is, I think this answers your question. Tell me if it doesn't. I want to help equip us all so that we actually like don't need to go recreate the wheel, and we don't need to say, "Well, geez, if I'm going to disciple somebody, it's a great idea. Like I'm bored from a heart and a vision standpoint, but I have no idea how to do this. Like I don't know what to do. Like what do we do when we meet? You know, kind of thing." So I've got something on that.
Does that still feel like a project if you're
no?
If you're following, I'm asking.
Yeah.
Does it still feel like you're?
Yeah.
To follow an outline that you're...
Yeah.
We've got through with A. I mean...
Yeah, I would say... Yeah.
I've heard it where in mentoring or taking someone with you or discipling mm-hmm. that they're around you enough that they see your fruit.
Right.
Right? And they're able to pick it up.
Right.
You know, that's what Jesus took those three guys with
yep.
him everywhere he went.
Yep.
When he was eating, when he was sleeping, when they were with him all the time, enough to see this is the way Jesus acts.
Right.
And I can get it from him. We're only going to have an hour with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't under, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a valid point.
Part of life, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you are. It's a relationship. We're embarking on a relationship with people, that's for sure. We're not just embarking on another class.
Right.
Okay, this isn't just about a transfer of knowledge. This is about praying with them, interacting with them, and so forth. But to that end, we do need, and again, I'm not throwing out like formats to say, hey, this is the thing to do. Like, if you don't do this, you're missing the boat. The point is it's a good little template to follow so that you have something to go on. And to Steve's point, I was thinking about this earlier today, and I probably can't articulate this right now, but there are two things that we are trying to help people toward, okay? Well, first of all, we're trying to help them toward Christ. The two ways we do that are prayer, and of course we're going to be with them physically, but prayer and the Word. Those are the two things we are using to help them learn about Christ.
That's right.
And so when I talk about like a project, you know, and it's a project we run through a list, I don't think it's a list. It's not a bad list to run people through to say, you know what? And I'm going to mention a word here everybody freaks out about. Doctrine. Okay? Part of discipleship should be helping them understand doctrine.
Absolutely.
What is doctrine? It's just truth. That's all it is.
What we believe and why we believe it.
Exactly. And so, guess what? If you don't cover those areas, and I put them in a list just for outline, for clarity, if you don't cover those areas, you're not covering the foundation that people need to know and to love Christ.
Definitely.
Okay? Truth, he is the truth. Truth is what helps people understand him. Okay? They don't need to hear from you a whole lot, quite frankly. They need to hear the Word of God.
Right.
And so taking them through that stuff is good. And I have it on an outline form because I'm a human being and I will forget stuff. I will like go in circles. I'll talk till the cows come home and we'll never get anywhere. So I need a list to go, hey, today we're going to talk about, you know, whatever, you know, the doctrine of salvation. We're going to talk about the gospel. You know, to make sure that you understand what these things are. Or we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. So you understand what these things are. And I'm not saying you have to all of a sudden become a card-carrying theologian and, you know, take them through every single nuance the Bible has of this. That's not the point. The point is we're trying to help them just understand basic truth in the Word of God about these truths. Gary?
One of the other things, and I don't know if you're going to cover this, but, you know, when we're discipling people, it's just not a matter of, you're not trying to create a theology class.
Correct.
You're trying to do life with them, and I think one of the things that it takes time for people to be transparent with one another.
Yep.
And so, you know, before jumping in and saying, okay, you know, day one we're going to talk about salvation.
Yep.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and your life?
Yeah, I need to get to these templates.
And then start
get ready, Tony.
With them on a personal level.
Yeah.
And I think it makes it easier to speak into their lives. And
yeah.
Because we're very complex beings. So
yeah.
We might say, I kind of get God's sovereignty, but when a child dies or
exactly.
your spouse cheats on you,
yeah.
okay, well, I'm struggling with this.
Exactly.
With this.
Exactly.
So a lot of times, I hate to say counseling, but
yeah.
You know, you are doing some counseling yeah. in
Absolutely.
The midst of discipling.
Absolutely. And that's,
we don't want to lose sight of that because that we can easily talk over people's heads and
yeah.
talk about the Trinity and they're right. they're floundering.
Right. Now it's a fantastic point, and I love the way he just put that. Is that as we're talking about these doctrines, we're doing it in the context of life.
Right.
Okay. Because again, we're helping people in a relationship, them with Christ. Okay. Good.
Yeah, as you're going through your discipling and relationship with the person, and things arise, then you go to the doctrine that appropriately addresses this particular
sure.
situation.
Sure.
And if you can remember, if you know it in your head, you can call up the scriptures.
Yep.
If you need to open the Bible, you can. But there's scriptural support for everything you say according to doctrine.
Right.
Should be, right?
Right. And by the way, one thing, too, I just want to throw out, and to sort of go on like the second side of the coin to Gary's point, this is about real life, okay? We're helping people with real life situations follow Jesus and to become mature in Jesus. The thing that we have going on in our church culture that we happen to live in is we are way over to one side of the spectrum on being relational. And so what we do is we typically don't ever get to scriptural truth because all we're talking about is somebody's situations. And we can talk about that forever. And they may never be helped to follow Christ unless they understand core truths of the Christian life. So, you know, that's sort of that point. I want to get to this in a minute. Just real quick, I just want to point something out here. The form of discipling that we're talking about here, and I've been talking about it for like 4 weeks now, okay? And it's out of Matthew 28:20. Some things it's not, okay? It's not evangelizing. This is not talking about evangelizing. That's a different topic. That's Matthew 28:19. It's not fellowshipping, okay? This is very intentional with like you're going to see here in a minute, some scope of saying, what are we trying to do here? And setting expectations right and all that. It's not just loose fellowship. It's not passive discipleship. It's not passive discipling. We talked about that before with the caught versus taught. What we're talking about and what Matthew 28:20, I believe, is talking about is an intentional, specific time together to make disciples. Okay, we're not talking about just influence. Okay, and that's all we're saying there. It's also different than a small group get together. We have small groups in the church, and a lot of people are in small groups. They're great, but that's not the form of discipleship or discipling that we're talking about here. Okay, what we're talking about here, and on your, I think I put it on your handout. Matthew 28:20, I could read it this way. Didasco them to obey that all that I've commanded.
Teach.
Didasco them to obey all that I have commanded. Does anybody remember what that meant?
Teach.
Teach. It's very specific with a goal in mind. Okay? Didasco them to obey all that I've commanded. So what this is talking about is a one-on-one relationship. It's a one-on-two relationship, maybe a one-on-three relationship. But it's to go through specific life and truth to help people grow in Christ so that they can make a disciple. So if we look at this right here, can somebody cut the lights? I just want to point out, first of all, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is a great scripture for this concept. I'm sorry, I'm in your way.
Can I ask a question, Mike?
Yeah.
Do we need to be furiously taking notes on this piece?
Or no.
Would that be available as an attachment?
Yeah, excellent question. What's going to happen is I am going to have Tracy include this whole document on tonight's email. And on CC, by the way, if you go to Koinonia on CC, there is a section there called Files. I'm going to go ahead and upload this to the Files section, and that way you can, you know, pull this off of there as well. But if you look at 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. I just said there's two things we want to use, prayer and the word. If we're not using an open word, you're probably just gabbing with people.
Amen.
Okay? All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, didasco, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That's what we're doing when we're discipling. We're training.
That's right.
Okay? That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Okay? So he can go out, she can go out, and actually bear fruit. Okay? Just some expectations here. Eric had brought it before, setting expectations. Somebody brought this up earlier, but I just wanted to say that the first couple weeks that you meet, I would say, here's your goal spiritually. You want to just basically set expectations and set out these things. First of all, them knowing Christ more intimately through the Word and loving Him more. That's one goal that you want to talk about. Second one is them living in loving obedience to Christ. That's another goal you talk about when you first get together. Them making disciples on their own is the ultimate goal that you want to talk about when you get together. And then here, if we look at some practical expectations, you might just run through this FAT acronym. I'm not saying you voice it to them per se, but you could. But you sort of want to do an assessment. You want to talk about time. You want to say, you know, when are we going to start? When are we going to stop? How long are we going to go when we meet? And how long are we going to go, by the way, in this whole relationship of discipling? And I personally think it's a good idea to just sort of put like a date out there somewhere and say, hey, maybe in 3 months we'll reassess. We'll take a look and see how we're doing. Maybe I need to make some adjustments as a discipler. Maybe you need to make some adjustments, what have you. So these are just practical things to set expectations. And again, Eric brought this up before, and it happens probably the majority of the time, to be honest with you, where expectations are not set. And so things just sort of peter out, they fizzle out, they sort of go in circles, and boom, they crash. So these are things that we definitely want to do. Is there any questions on that before I move on?
I think just agreeing on the expectations to make sure,
for sure,
both are on the same page.
For sure. Yeah, and that's that whole acronym and all that stuff. We have to have, this is a two-way street. This can't be you, the disciple, are leading the whole charge here. Okay, you need to both be equally involved in wanting to do this. If you don't, that's okay. Then just look at somebody else. So some formats, if we look at this, now this is something I just came up with, okay? A discipleship assessment, getting to know each other's background, your childhood, your family, your education experience. This is like the first 1 to 2 weeks, and somebody brought this up a minute ago. You just want to get to know each other. Like let me help me understand like who you are and where you came from and what you're all made up from, you know, and that kind of thing. Getting to know each other's personal testimony of faith in Christ. I wouldn't make an assumption. that just because they're agreeing to be discipled by you that they've actually been regenerate.
Right.
Well, they come to Cornerstone, so they have to be. No, they don't.
Right.
I would just ask them, like, tell me, how did you come to Christ? Like, you know, how, what happened? Like, when did you get saved, or what have you? Getting to know each other's past and current description of life in Christ. Like, where are you at? I talked about the chain last week. Where are you at? Then, I would do that for maybe a week or two, okay? And then you could talk about the gospel. Like, you know, help them understand the biblical layout of the gospel, simply put. And when I say gospel, I'm talking about salvation, okay, not gospel life. Christ-likeness, Christ-like behavior, holiness. Here's some, you know, challenges that Gary had talked about, temptations and relationships and idols and discernment and balance and, you know, all this stuff. Obedience, studying Scripture. Maybe you need to show them how to study Scripture. Not how to go, you know, become a PhD in something, but how to study Scripture, okay? The cost of discipleship. Do they even know there's a cost? Do they even know that they're a slave? I didn't sign up for that. So, you know, maybe they need to know that. Go ahead. Prayer. Talk about prayer and pray with them. Talk about the fruit of the Spirit, evangelizing and discipling. And doctrine. Here's the big, heavy, heavy, heavy word. Doctrine. Okay? Scriptural truth about God, Christ, Holy Spirit, man, sin, salvation, gifts, church. Keep going. The Scriptures. Okay? Help them understand what essentials are versus non-essentials. Big deal. And then discipline. This is a huge issue I would love to teach on sometime, is the topic of discipline. It touches every area, and this goes back to what Gary was saying about real life. Discipline touches everything in real life. And sometimes we don't really focus on that. We talk about everything else like they're silos, and we don't talk about the mortar between the bricks, which is discipline. Okay? So what are they doing with time, health, money, priorities, boundaries? Perseverance versus falling away. This gets to what Gary's saying. Like, you know, when your whole life just handed you a sledgehammer across the head, how are you dealing with it? And I got to tell you, if people don't have a foundation in the Scriptures, that's when they're going to fall away.
That's right.
That's when they're going to say, you know what? I don't like this. This is too hard. Nobody told me this is what I was signing up for. You know, blah, blah, blah. God doesn't hear me. The promises in Scriptures are a joke.
Amen. All of that.
That's real life. And so talk about this stuff. That's my sample. Format sample two, and I'll just run through this really quick. This is from Bobby Johnson in 20 Schemes. He talks about a little prose here on, you know, how to start out. Pray, love, listen. Go ahead and scroll through that, Tony. Procedure. Okay, he's got some words on that. And then he's got a model here. Meet up, catch up, pray before starting, questions asked, topics written down, etc., etc. Keep going. And then here's some accountability questions. So this format has some accountability questions built in. Okay? So my whole point in all of this is hopefully this is like a tool that if you need it, you can take it and say, hey, and you can mix and match here. You can take these accountability questions and use them on the format that I had at the beginning or whatever. It's like, you know, do whatever you think works for you. But the point is to be an intentional one-on-one, one-on-two-ish meeting where we're helping train them to become a follower of Christ. Does saying that make sense? questions? Think of this as like a cheat sheet, by the way. Okay, this isn't like the mandate, boom, that you got to go do all this stuff. But it's a cheat sheet. It's something you can use as a guide. You know, that's all. Huh?
Guide sounds better.
Okay, it's a guide. So, Tracy, can you hand all those books out, please?
I've got them here.
So I want everybody to have a copy of this book, Discipleship Defined. This is another really good book. And by the way, I think I missed your last couple on there. But one of the ones I had on there, and you'll see it when you get this document. You could actually use this book as a cheat sheet, as a guide. You could take somebody through this book. There's a guy, a young guy in a church right now. That's what we agreed to do, is go through this book. Because frankly, he's about 90% of the way there, really, to just going out and making disciples. So we're going to go through this book together, and it's really just a guidebook. It's a field guidebook to help him say, hey, I got a little something in my back pocket I can use when I'm going out to do this. So,
thanks for the book.
You're welcome. And again, the four people who paid for it will get reimbursed. So next week we'll talk about where to disciple. And what I mean by that is like where to go to seek out people that can be discipled. Any final questions or comments?
Are these in the bookstore if I wanted to get another one?
They're not. No. I have more at home though. So I bought a whole bunch.
Thank you for the book.
Yeah, you're welcome. So. Okay, I hope that was helpful. Again, this was more of just an instructional thing or like a logistical thing. So I hope this document and these parameters are just helpful in the basics of going out and discipling. So, Father, thank you for this time together. I pray that today's information might be helpful to all of us as we think about this stuff, as we consider how and where and what we might do to go make disciples, Lord. Regardless of the information today, Lord, I pray that you would put on my heart and put on everyone else's heart that we really need to be doing this because you commanded it, and it's what you want us to do. So, God, I pray that you would do that for your glory, that we would be obedient to you because we love you, and to just see you glorified. We just thank you in Jesus' name for this time. Amen.